Let the church live loud. Did you hear that line? See that line? Whether through song or through the preaching of God's word, may the gospel message be loud and clear. Well, join me in Mark chapter 16. We're going to bypass Matthew. We're going to go right into Mark 16, which is the very last chapter, the very end of Mark's gospel. We're going to move into the very near the very end of Mark's gospel here. And as you're finding your way there to Mark chapter 16, just as a refresher, we are right smack dab in the middle of our series on the top 10 things that Jesus said. We arrive today at number 5. Number 5, the context here, is found at the end of Jesus' time on earth, nearly right before he returns to heaven. I think we can find in his words here, at this moment in his earthly ministry and life, that they are important for two reasons. His words are important for two reasons. One, because we tend to cling to people's last words. Those words tend to stick out and stay with us, no matter who it is. And if you could just say one last thing, what would it be before you leave this world? It brings a special significance to what Jesus says here. But secondly, and specific to the church, this passage is important because we find as a church our entire purpose. Last week we saw that Jesus is building his church. He's the one who initiated it. He's the one who began it and brought it into existence. And he's the one who is continuing to build it. He's the one who will bring it to completion. And he's the one who will present it to himself. It's all the Alpha and the Omega for the church, Jesus Christ. And everything we do is defined, and everything we are is defined by Jesus Christ and his idea and his mind for who and what the church is all about. The purpose, the meaning, and the focus energy right here in this passage is given to her. What are those words? They're found in verse 15, and they are number 5 on the top 10 countdown of the greatest things Jesus said. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Number 5 on Jesus's top 10 greatest statements. Number 1, our first point, is that we need to preach Christ crucified. Preach Christ crucified. We're going to pull out a few points here related to this verse that Jesus spoke to his disciples at the end of his time on earth. And number 1 is that we need to be preaching Christ and preaching Christ crucified. Go into all the world and here's the activity, preach the good news. Good news coming from the Greek word, which we often translate as the gospel. Preaching has always been the means by which God accomplishes his plans. Have you ever thought about that? Preaching is the core and the bloodline of all of the activity that God is doing and accomplishing in this world. He does everything by his word. In the beginning, he created by his word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that he sustains all things by his word, and all things are held together by his word. His word gives life. And behind that, related to that, is behind men who speak for God is a God who himself speaks. And because he speaks, men speak. The Old Testament major prophet Jeremiah said in a very striking manner, "But if I say to myself, I will not mention him, I will no longer speak of his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." Isaiah, perhaps the most prominent Old Testament prophet, when God asked, "Who shall I send?" Isaiah was so arrested by the vision of God's glory that he declared, "Here am I, send me. May I go and speak what you command me to speak." God told Ezekiel after that glorious vision in chapter 1, and as those fantastically heavenly bizarre creatures come to a rest after their glorious and strange display, they come down and they bow as behind them and above them comes the glory of God. And in that moment, Ezekiel is addressed by the Lord Himself. And the Lord says to him, "Stand up, Ezekiel, for I am going to speak to you, and you will go and speak to the Israelites what I tell you to." See, behind every man who speaks for God is a God who Himself speaks, and because He is a God who speaks, because He is not a mute idol who is nothing more than a non-God, He speaks, and there is power in the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. The apostles Peter and John, standing under the shadow of the Sanhedrin's threats, declared, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And it was Paul, whose very well-being, mind you, he felt hinged on whether he spoke or not, when he said in 1 Corinthians 9:6, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Something, the energy within him that was thrusting him forward to preach, if he tried to contain it, it would almost destroy him, he felt. It must come out. All of these men have had, these men of God had within them an unstoppable force compelling them to preach. And for clarity, it is not great personalities, it is not charismatic men, it is not dynamic individuals that made them such. It is the living, personal Spirit of God inside of them, driving them, thrusting them, compelling them to go forth and to preach the Word of God. For it was not until the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, mind you, until His arrival, that they came forth, actually that they burst forth out of the closed doors of the upper room and began to preach boldly the praises and the majesty of God to all those in Jerusalem publicly. The Holy Spirit moved them up and out to preach, forcing them to preach, driving them to preach. Preach they must. And preaching still is and will always be the necessary perforce activity that advances the message of Christ crucified. And that is why we must always, 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 always preach. Romans 10 verses 14 through 17 says it this way: "How can they call on the one they have not believed in?" How? "And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And yet still further, how can they preach unless they are sent? Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard by the Word of Christ." Leveling all the weight of conviction that he could on young Timothy, Paul bound him with these words and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. "In the presence of God, Timothy, and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the Word." And yet preaching is specifically the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. The church is not issues-driven. The calendar of the series of sermons is not driven by politics. It is not driven by Hallmark. But rather, it is governed by Jesus Christ and His Word. The church is not supposed to be market-driven, surveying the tastes of what customers want and tailoring its final product to perfectly match customers' wants. It is about Jesus Christ in His Word. Nor is the church to be pragmatically driven, offering an endless supply of three steps to a better and healthier version of you. Instead, it is tenaciously, relentlessly, tirelessly preaching Christ and Him crucified. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 1:23 says, as we mentioned earlier. But we preach Christ crucified. Paul summed it up. Actually, in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 2:2, he said, I came to you as a missionary, and I resolved, quote, to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Galatians 3:2 says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was portrayed as crucified. This is how God uses people to speak for Him. He uses men to reach men for a crucified and risen Jesus Christ. Do you understand that preaching Christ crucified is the most magnificent thing anyone can hear about? Do we really grasp that the greatest act of kindness done to another human being is to share with them the gospel? Measure your own burden for humanity by the measure of your own burden that men hear about Christ and Him crucified for them. If I could choose between coming up with a cure for cancer or converting those dying of cancer with the gospel, I would choose the latter. Caring for someone's life on earth while showing no concern for their eternal safety is criminal before heaven. The commission we have from Jesus Christ is to tell people the ultimate message. God has done something for everyone that everyone needs to hear about. We need to tell them. We need to tell them about Christ and about Him crucified. Well, what does that mean? It means we need to tell them a message that exposes their sinful condition. That's something done out of love, out of a burden for their salvation. We need to share with them their standing before God and that they are condemned by God for their sins. And yet that very God who is judging, who is their judge, is also the God who loves them. So much so that while He yet condemns them for their sin, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for their sins. And He, through His death on the cross, averted the wrath of God. He quenched the wrath of God for their sins. And if they would but turn to Jesus Christ, they would have eternal life and forgiveness. You see, God's demand on His servants to preach is also a demand on their audience to respond. God confronts men through the preaching of His Word. He comes right up to them and requires a response. What will you do with me? What will you do with my Son, Jesus Christ? The hearer of God's Word is thrust into a decision point. Many deny Him. Many delay, which is another way of denying Him. But those who receive Him, John 1 says that He gave the right to become children of God. Those who put their trust in Him, it says, will never be put to shame. The purpose of the church is to preach Christ and to preach Him crucified. Secondly, Jesus says that we are to preach Christ to all creation. The church is to preach Christ to all creation, everywhere in the world. Our Lord said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Now, all creation does not mean that you go and explain John 3:16 to a maple tree. It doesn't mean that you go home with a tract and explain Romans Road to your yellow lab. All creation is just a way of referring to all of mankind. Colossians 1:23 does the same thing. Paul said, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. In other words, everyone on earth. Jesus Christ's point here in Mark to His disciples is that wherever there are people in this world, go to them and tell them the good news about Me. You see, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and His command to them, the very first command in all Scripture, is to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And now in His act and work of redemption, He commands His apostles to go and to fill the earth with the gospel. Even as Colossians 1:6 says, all over the world this gospel has been bearing fruit and growing. You see, Jesus likened us to branches that were growing out of Him as the true vine. And we as His branches are going and spreading out from Him in our communities, in our own spheres, in our own world, in this world, and bearing fruit for the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, it began in Jerusalem, and it spread out that way according to the Lord's plans in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. These are another few words that the Lord said right before He left this earth. He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and out to the ends of the earth. There's a pattern there that's established. Getting the gospel out globally starts locally. And growing out of a local church's local ministry is the outward expanding and globally expanding mission of spreading the gospel further and further. See, inherent in this teaching is that all of mankind is lost in sin and separated from God. All men need to hear God's salvation. There is force and there is urgency rising up in this fact that energizes us as the church to our mission. And this is why the most valuable benefit that humanity has ever received is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it is the most beneficial gift humanity has ever received, it is worth whatever cost comes to give it out. Going out with the gospel means personally giving up things so others can hear. It costs Jesus to come down and preach. It cost the apostles and the prophets. It cost the early church. It has cost the church ever since. Believer after believer has personally traded in themselves and even their very lives at times so that others can hear the greatest news any human could ever hear. An application or two in here for us. Number one is this. There is implicitly here the point that everyone needs to hear about Jesus Christ because Jesus died for everyone. Go into all the world and preach to all creation. 1 Timothy 2:4 and verse 6 says this, God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Verse 6, Christ Jesus gave Himself a ransom for all men. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so you can be confident that no matter who you look at, there are two things that are for certain. Number one, Jesus died for that person's sins. We do believe in unlimited atonement. That the death of Jesus Christ is sufficient for all. And number two, the Lord wants them to be saved. I mean, get a hold of that. That people that your eyes fix on, whether it's a server or a bank teller or a neighbor or a coworker, when you look at them, the Lord looks at them as well, and He is burdened and desires that they should repent and be saved, that they should not perish. Remember Ezekiel when God said, I have no delight in the perishing of the wicked, the death of the wicked, but that they would repent and be saved. Turn and be saved. It's just this imploring that the Lord has towards those who don't believe. Do not hesitate then, is what we're getting at, to share with them the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Application number two. Bring the gospel everywhere in your world. You see, Jesus says here to bring the gospel to all creation, into all the world. And listen, you can't cover every square inch of this real estate called the globe we refer to as Earth. You can't be everywhere. You will never cover every square inch. But what about your world? If you boil it down to your world, the command that our Lord gives is to bring the gospel, the good news to everyone in your world, all creatures in your world. Does this mean you personally should get up and go to foreign countries and spread the gospel? Not necessarily. Okay. First, you must be called by the Lord to do such a thing. Second, your character must make others unquestionably confident in you. Third, you must have a track record in your local church of routinely sharing the gospel, teaching the word effectively, and mature leadership before you are sent somewhere else to do all that. Lastly, the Church of Jesus Christ is way bigger than EFC in Spring Lake, Michigan in the 21st century. This command has been and continues to be fulfilled by multitudes. Some parts of the body do that, but here's the point. Many are planted locally to build locally. Many are charged with the mission to bring the good news to all creation within their local world. So for many Christians, including us here, preaching the good news to all means right here in our own corner. Are you bringing the gospel to your children? To your grandchildren? Are you bringing the gospel to your other family members? To the checkout clerk that you see regularly? To the, as we said earlier, bank teller that you are engaging week after week or every other week? What about that waitress or waiter whose section you always seem to be sitting in and you've begun to know them a little bit more? What about that coworker that you work alongside? Where in your world can you be bringing the gospel? See, inherent in all of this is that we must be ready and on the lookout for moments to share the good news in our world. We talked about that in Sunday school. So much of the New Testament shows us that people prayed for those opportunities to be bringing the gospel into certain people's lives. And so also we pray that we may be able to do that in the people who are part of our lives. The church must preach Christ to all creation. We're in trouble. I didn't bring a phone or my watch. What time do we have? 48? Oh, we got plenty of time. Thirdly, we must teach Christ's commandments. We must teach Christ's commandments. So we must not only preach Christ crucified, we must not only preach to Him or preach to all of creation, but we must teach His commandments. We must not neglect our responsibility to those who believe in Christ crucified. The Great Commission is not only for those who are unbelieving, but it is also relevant to those who are believing. That is, we must grow in our obedience to the Lord's teachings. The preeminent passage, the most important passage, you might say, for the Great Commission of the church is found in Matthew. You think, well, why didn't you go there? Because we've spent so much time in Matthew. We've got to mix things up, variety, the spice of preaching, right? Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 28, and let's look at what our Lord said there. Matthew chapter 28, looking at verse 18, Jesus says these words, "Then Jesus came to them," that is His disciples, "and said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Therefore, you disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." You see, this passage corresponds with Mark's passage in a certain way. You see, Mark explicitly commands us to preach the gospel everywhere, whereas Matthew explicitly commands us to baptize and to teach. And when you take them together, we see the full detail of our deputation, and that is to preach the gospel that people may be saved, baptize them when they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, becoming new creatures in Christ through their faith, and then to, in a lifelong relationship and commitment and charge, teach them the Word of God and the commandments of Jesus Christ that they may grow in their continuous progression of obedience to Jesus. See, we said this a couple weeks back, that a person's life with Jesus begins with their first act of obedience to Him. And that first act of obedience is not to be baptized. That's a commandment, but that's not the first act. Nor is the first act of obedience to obey one of these commands in living for Christ. The first act of obedience that a person makes to Jesus Christ is to believe on Him for their salvation. Obedience to the gospel is not living a Christian life. Obedience to the gospel is faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. To refuse and to reject, to believe, nullifies anything else afterwards someone may do for Christ. They have rejected Him. The Christian life begins with believing in Him. That's an act of obedience because we are called and commanded to believe. Then, be baptized and begin this life commitment to Him. And when we do that, when we as a church are focused on that, when we are faithful to that, church can be certain that God is with them, that Jesus Christ is with them. See, I didn't finish out that verse. I didn't finish the very last verse in Matthew. And if you're still there, look at what he says. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, period. Here's the last sentence. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Anyone who is with the Lord will be doing the things that He has commissioned and called us to. And whoever is doing those things, He said He will be with them to the end of the age. Never will He forsake us. Never will He leave us. But always in mission and in purpose and in commission and in task, we are with the Lord in what He is doing. And that is building the church. Just like we talked about a couple weeks ago. And He said, I will build my church. This is so important. This is so important for us to realize. Are we going to be a church? And I think we are. Certainly we have not achieved all things. Certainly we have not. We've got so much more to go. As we said in Sunday school, the further we go with the Lord, it seems to bring this realization that there's always even further to go. But as a church, do we make these things, the preaching of God's Word, the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, baptizing believers, discipling believers, the absolute highest priorities for what we do and what we exist for? Listen, if we are doing church on Sunday mornings and we don't have that conviction in our hearts that this is what we are called to, then what we are doing is tradition, not conviction. We need the conviction that this is why we are here, this is what we exist for, this is why we come together, and this is why we go out from here. It's for the salvation of the lost and the building up of believers in Christ Jesus. The more we are faithful to that call, and the less distracted we are with, hey, look, I'm glad we sold the family center, but we will never let that and never would have let that become a distraction to continuing on with these things here. And even more so, what we have in front of us materially and physically, as important as they are, let those things never eclipse what we really and truly exist and are all about. And that is this great commission given to us by our great Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what a marvelous purpose in this world that you have called us to. Certainly as we come to know greater and greater in our understanding and knowledge of this salvation that you've given to us, the more we want to spread it out into the world around. The more we want to be used by you in the lives of those in our world to get them the gospel, that they may come to know you, that they may come to understand your love as it has come in Christ Jesus, that they may understand your holiness and your righteousness, and that they may gain eternal life as well. So I pray, Father, that each one of us, we don't all have to be preachers, either to preach the gospel or to have the conviction that that is what we need to be all about. But each one of us, may we appreciate and put a high premium on the preaching of God's Word with our attitudes and as a reflection in the way that we submit to the preaching of the Word of God and hear it. Lord, I pray that You would use us to reach all creatures all around, that we would be expanding in our own world and in our own spheres more and more with the Word of God, and that You may be using us in our own personal lives more and more to reach more people as well, that as our church, we may be used by You to reach more. Father in heaven, bless the ministry of EFC. We have such wonderful fellowship here. And may Your Word be held up high, and may we continue to glorify You and bring honor to You and Your Son.